Blog Talk Radio.
Because I've been gone for a while and I didn't make the show last week, so I am so happy to be back and I'm excited about tonight's show. But before we get started and get into all the good stuff, I want to say hello to my co-host, Miss Tamika Newhouse and Miss Mariposa. Are y'all there?
Yes.
Here.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy New Year, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I mean, it is only January 22nd, but hey.
Well, I only missed one show, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to have you back.
I didn't want to miss.
To have everybody's like, back on the show. And this was a good one to be back on. We're going to be having a very high profile author on the show, very popular. Even someone I even heard of before I even got into this industry, Mr. Carl Weber himself. So I'm excited just to talk to him. I've talked to his brother before personally, but I've never talked to Carl Weber himself. So this is going to be interesting. So before we jump into what's going to be going on within the next 20 minutes, what's been going on? And I know you said you've kind of been MIA. What's been going on these first 22 days in 2013?
Oh, my God. Work, and more work, guys. I get myself into. As y'all know, I changed positions last year, and where I'm at, I'm putting in, 70 to 80 hours a week myself, which is working. And between my family, trying to write, and working here, and it's a lot going on, but I managed to finish. Now You Want to Come Back Part 3. That is done. So I'm so super excited about that. But that's about it. I've just been trying to maintain and balance. That's about it.
And you're not on G-Chat. We're going to be unprofessional right now. When are you going to get on G-Chat?
I am. You know what? I keep getting an error. I keep on telling me to reload. So try to send me something and see if I can get it.
Okay.
It's like my computer, girl, is ready for. It's time for a new one. My computer is a few years old, you guys. I've been trying to hang on to it, but it's just time to upgrade. So I plan to do that in the year 2013. So hopefully in a couple of weeks I have another machine.
Well, I'm hoping so because this ain't working. I'm gonna need because we like to send behind the scene notes. You know, we be cracking up on folks and everything. I don't know.
And it helps our show to flow a little bit smoother so we won't say the same thing or jump in before the next person. So it helps our show to run smoother, you guys. So we won't be just talking about folks.
So before we bring on LaSherra Lee for a hot pick of the week, which she actually picked a really good one, so I can't wait to talk about that one. Mari, take us into some Delphine news. Tell us what's going on with Delphine Publications.
Okay. If you still haven't done it, you can still enter for your chance to win a dinner date with some of Delphine's authors on the 7th of February in Washington, which is also going to be held on the same day that Delphine will be at the Harvard University Book Fair. So to enter, you can go to delphinepublications.wordpress.com and look for the Dinner with the Stars link. That's the only way I know how to find it. Tamika could probably tell you better, which I'm sure she will. And then tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Time, join us on Twitter for a book discussion with Miss Tamara Matthews, using the hashtag DPBookChat to see what's going on with her and Wise Unleashed. And if you still don't have The Holy City by Michael Blake, check it out. And check out his article on the Delphine blog as well as on Dana Paldo's blog for more information on the story behind the story and get to know him a little bit better. Okay.
Y'all know something? I feel like I'm so out of the loop because with Delphine books, I'm usually on it and I read at least Delphine books if I don't get around to reading anybody books. But I've been so busy and preoccupied with what's going on with me. I haven't even read a new Delphine book, and I want to apologize to my Delphine family because, if anything, I do support Delphine. I have them in my Kindle. Don't believe it or not, I have purchased them. I just haven't gotten around to reading them. So I'm going to because I usually try to post a review, and I don't like to post fake reviews, you guys. I like to read the book and really give them my honest opinion. But as y'all know, Delphine don't put out no garbage, so I'm not worried. But I can't wait to get around to read some of the newcomers onto Delphine. I just feel so bad.
It's my intention and it's my goal to make you feel even worse. But I won't.
Oh my goodness!
I'll do that behind the scenes. So we're gonna let you pass. I mean, it is the beginning of the new year, and so hopefully, you know, some things will change, and, you know, because we got to see you ride out this year. So hopefully, you know, we'll get together and do some things this year. But that's all coming, you guys. So make sure y'all stay tuned. Y'all want to stay up on Anna Black and what she's doing, go to annablack.net. So, but now let me jump in briefly on some AAMBC news. We do have a Twitter party going on with AMDC this Wednesday with Angela Stanton. She wrote the book Lies of a Real Housewife. We're going to be doing a Twitter party with her Wednesday on Twitter using the hashtag AAMBC Book Party. That's going to be a Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, later on this month, on January 30th, we're going to be announcing the AAMBC Literary Award, AAMBC Literary Award nominees. So get ready to see who's going to be nominated for the 5th annual award show. So that's going to be going on here on AAMBC Radio on January 30th. We already have several of the presenters lined up that's going to be calling to the show to present their categories. I'm excited about that. And, of course, we have our books of the month that we're reading this month. So if you want to see what we're reading The Crumb Snatcher by Deborah Thompson and also Love Deception by Dominique L. Watson. So make sure you go to our website, click on Books of the Month. We're also featuring the Kendall Banks book, Welfare Grind, doing our virtual book tours. We also have our video commercial on our website. So make sure you go on there at aambookclub.com. Check that out and see what all we have there for you. So hopefully you guys will find something that's going to be interesting for you and that you will want to read. So let's turn it over to Anna, that's going to bring on Ms. LaShera Lee for our hot book pick of the week.
Yeah, Ms. LaShera Lee, she always come in, y'all, and tell us about hot books that's out. She is up on it. This woman really literally probably reads a book a day. she be up on it. I'm like, God, she read it already. Man, she read it already. But she's going to come on. Are you ready, Ms. LaShera Lee, to tell us what's going on with the new book this week? Oh, I guess she's not ready yet, y'all. She's not ready yet. At least do you know the title of it, Tamika? Do you know the title of the book that we'll be talking about?
Yes. She did just shoot me an email saying that she couldn't hear. So I'm trying to send her a message now to tell her to go ahead and start talking because we have you on live. Mike. Hold on. Mike is live. I'm trying to tell her Mike is live. So that she can know. But the book that she wanted to talk about is Beverly Jenkins' Black Lace. And I've never read this book. It's an older book at that, so that's why I was kind of interested in seeing why LaShera picked this book and what it's about and things like that. But it did come out in 2005. They put it out on Kindle in 2009. So that was pretty interesting. So I want to see...
What is it called, Tamika? Black Lace?
It's called Black Lace by Beverly Jenkins.
Okay, I'm going to look that up really quick until we can get her, and I can kind of give you a little feedback on what the synopsis is until we can get a hold of her, and we kind of set the mood of what the book is about. If my computer area...
I've never seen this book by Beverly Jenkins, so this is interesting. I mean... I've never seen it. But then again, Beverly Jenkins has, 100 books out?
Yeah, that's one of them pioneers. And it's called Black Lace. Let's see. You know what? I hate when we have technical difficulties around here because it kind of just, messes up our flow.
Yeah.
So bear with us, you guys. We're trying to get it together. But
this came out in 2005? Say it again.
It came out
in 2005. Let's see if we have LaShera on now. LaShera, can you hear us now?
Yes.
So I can hear you now.
Great.
All right. Yay.
I did technical difficulties. I don't know what's going on with my phone. It is having a meltdown.
I don't know what's going on either. I'm glad you called in.
Oh, my phone. All I heard was, you can speak to the host, and then that was it. My phone is having a meltdown.
Okay.
But, you know,
released the title of the book that you were going to talk about, so I'm just going to turn the floor over to you.
Now, I know last week I shocked everyone, so I thought that I would perhaps become a little bit more tame this week. I picked a favorite of mine, Beverly Jenkins, The Edge of Midnight, which is a series of black lace. It's a very good book. And this book deals with a lot of intrigue. If you like suspense, spy, Lifetime movie, without all the crazy exes, but just all the suspense and drama and espionage, then this is a great book for you. The Edge of Midnight deals with a very social conscious young lady who will do anything to save her community, even if it includes perhaps getting into bed with the devil in order to save the people that she holds dear to her heart. And that's what she does. She enters into a pact with someone that she despises, a drug dealer, in order to get some money to save this community center. But in the process of doing that, she uncovers this very dangerous plot. And there she becomes the victim of the drug dealer. So she has to go into hiding so she will not get hurt or killed. And in the process, she discovers that this whole operation is going on, kind of a IRA, Contra spy type of operation, where people are trying to kill other people in response to a lot of different things going on in the community and outside the community, involving the environment, drugs, and whatsoever. So the book deals with a whole lot of issues. It's a very good book. I don't want to be a plot spoiler. Very good book. Very easy to read. Nothing hard to read. And it will keep your interest. And it has a lot of different things going on, but it will keep your interest. So I give the book, out of 5 stars, I give the book a 4 stars.
And I was saying before you go on the show, I was wondering, because it's an older book. So is this something?
It is an older book. It is an older book. I do believe some of them are being re-released in e-book. But I know last week I shocked a lot of people, and I got a lot of inbox from their responses to my last book. So I thought I would play it safe this week. Now, I'm going to tell people, you know, February is a month of love and erotica, so I will go there again. Maybe I will pick a title that is less controversial, but I will go there again because, there's a big controversy over Christian erotica. You all have been following that controversy?
Wait. Christian erotica?
Yeah, and I am going to probably, Christian erotica, you know, definitely get them little Christians from. But, and I probably will highlight and pick one of the books that I feel, you know, it's quite tasteful. But a lot of people are, you know, even though, you know, people engage in sex, because, you know, that's how we, you know, have gotten here. And people continue to engage in sex because, you know, people or children are still being birthed. But when it comes to sex and people being, you know, Christians or being in some type of profession, people often frown upon speaking about sexual aspects or being a sexual being. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a sexual being. And, you know, it could be very tasteful being a sexual being. But, you know, some people frown on that. So I felt that this week I would play it safe. But I'm going to let your listeners know that next month, I probably will approach that area, and I will be rating a Christian erotica book, and I would like to hear the response from your listeners.
Now, the thing is, okay. Now let's go back to that little topic, because I can truly tell you with this Christian erotica versus erotica is erotica, and whether you are Christian or a non-Christian, sex is just sex. And I'm only saying that to say that I had a email from this lady who kind of came off to me kind of nasty, but she was a Christian, and she was saying that she really not want to come back, but it was a struggle for her to make it through the book, and she think the book would have been a lot better if it wasn't so vulgar. She was like, being a Christian and a mother and a wife, I feel like if God gave you a gift, you ought to use it, I guess, more positively than negative. I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. What do Christians not have sex?
Exactly. I know that's right. I'm a Christian.
Exactly. I believe God. and I'm unstable.
I know that's right. And you know what? If you look at the divorce rate among Christians, it's quite high. And I do believe that that can be attributed to the fact that there is so much stigma around sexual issues. But everybody's having sex. Sometimes they're not having sex with their spouse, but they are having sex with other quote-unquote Christians. And I think that once you take that stigma off that, that you can be free to indulge in what God wants you to indulge with, you know, with your spouse. You know,
exactly.
You know,
the
betterment of
the spouse.
If you ever read that, girl, you better shut the book. And if you ever read something like the Song of Solomon, oh, you know, it can be quite sensual, you know.
Graphic.
You know, yeah, there you go. And I think that a lot of people need to get their minds, you know, out of these closed boxes so therefore they can give their marriages time to breathe and to explore. But it's been a hot issue. As a matter of fact, it was like a little Facebook I won't say argument, but a lively Facebook debate. It was concerning two authors, but there were other people who were, as you said, that young lady, you know, emailed you. It was kind of nasty. Well, there were some people that were quite nasty in response to, like, this Christian erotica. And I will be hosting one of the authors on my blog talk. And so I will be looking at some of her books. And so I thought that I should review it on this show, just so that people can understand that, like you said, erotica is erotica, and love is love. Right. And if we free our minds, then we will allow other things to follow, and not all those things will be negative. A lot of them will be positive. But, you know, I think that as Christians, we can be the most judgmental people,
yeah.
They can be quite judgmental. Thank you for the correction. Could be quite judgmental, and you often often people don't want to engage in anything that you're doing because you're so negative, you're so judgmental. You know, now we know some Christians, you know, very judgmental and very could be quite hypocritical as well. So
yeah.
You know, I think it's time for us to discuss that Christian erotica. So I just let your listeners know that in February, probably the first week, I'll be back.
Well,
so it'll be a little controversial, perhaps. But you know, book is book, reading, and good literature is good literature.
Right.
Well, Mr. Chair, we're definitely about to tap into the second half part of our show. But let people know where they can find you at. Shout out your Twitter, your blog talk show, all that.
You can find me on Twitter at Read You Later, a blog talk show, blog talk radio, Read You Later. You can find me on Facebook under LaShira Lee, and I do a book reverse for Emerge magazine, www.emergevirginia.com.
All righty.
I like Miss LaShira. I appreciate it. I can't wait to talk about that Christian erotica. That's going to be something.
Exactly.
All right, you ladies have a wonderful evening.
You too.
You too.
Wow,
right,
that was
ladies.
Well said, Miss Tamika. I'm
that's yeah. You know what? We can have a whole show just on that topic alone. So that's something
we need to.
About.
We need to address it. We really need to.
Yeah, let's make that a panel. So I'm gonna make note of that. But now we're going to the second part of our show, which I'm really excited about. We're going to be bringing on Arthur Carr Weber. We're going to be talking about his book, The Man in 3B. I'm excited to have him on the show. We've had ABC Radio since 2008. We haven't had the opportunity to have this man grace the mic, so I'm excited to have him on to talk about everything that he's accomplished, things he's about to tap into. I know he mentioned a show series that he's going to be trying to do, so I'm excited to get some more information about that. So let's see if we have Mr. Weber on. Mr. Carr Weber, if you can please say hello and welcome on.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Not better than I was
last week. I know this is usually like your most busy time of the year because now you're getting ready to release a book on the 29th. So you're going to be heading out on a really busy book tour in just a few days if you haven't already started. So I really appreciate you calling in and taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, Oh, no problem at all. I'm excited to be here.
Now, you are talking to three ladies, so if you ever feel overwhelmed, you're going to say, hold up, ladies, hold on, let us know, and we'll slow it down for you, you know, because we want to make you feel comfortable. You know, can you handle all three women at one time? Oh, Lord.
Well, I haven't had the opportunity to go to go that far, but I'll do my best.
Okay, well, see, hey, there's always a time for first, and you'll never get this interview. This is going to be fun.
Well, so, I want to start.
Miss
Anna Black want to start. I also want to welcome you onto the show and thank you for taking time to hang out with us. You are one of the artists that we respect because you started way back when black artists were first coming out, and you had an opportunity to get in then and pave the way for a lot of us new and upcoming authors. So this is a privilege. It's an honor to have you on. For those who don't know you, I can't imagine anyone that doesn't. Tell us, like, when you got started. What got you started into writing books, and how did you become published when you first came out the gate?
Oh, wow. Well, I guess it all kind of started because of a bookstore in Queens, New York. I owned a bookstore in Jamaica, Queens, and I guess at the time it was considered one of the most successful bookstores in the country as far as African-American bookstores were concerned. And we would have authors come into the store all the time. And, it almost became like a challenge. I mean, there's more to the story, obviously, but it became a challenge to me to help take care of my family. We all know that owning a black bookstore, you're never going to become rich. So...
Right.
It became a challenge to try to compete or at least write a book like some of the people that were out there. I guess a lot of people say that I was in the second class, and the first class was, you know, obviously Terry McMillan was the queen, but the first class was Eric Dickey, Kim Robey, and Evelyn Harris, and Omar Tyree, all of those guys.
Right.
And so I was part of the second class, I guess you would say, me and Zane and Mary Morrison and Mary Monroe. We all kind of came up together around 1999, 2000. And I had written a book, didn't have a deal or anything, didn't have an agent. And through some help from a couple of the big-time New York editors, I was introduced to a woman by the name of Marie Brown, who, in my opinion, is the best African-American agent in the business. I mean, we've been together going on 14 years now as agent and client. And Marie secured a contract with Kensington Publishing for me. And I started off small, started off as a trade paperback author. And, you know, she kept telling me, you know, you just got to keep trying to learn the craft. And, you know, with each book, I would try to get to learn something new and to make the next book better than the last book. And that's kind of the way I've been taking my career from the beginning, is just trying to make every book better than the last book and remembering one very important thing, that the people out there that purchase my books and that read my stuff, you know, they're really the ones that pay my salary. So I owe it to them to make sure every book is better than the last.
And I'm looking at your books from when you very first started, and you had an image, you had a brand. Your books definitely didn't look like anyone else's. So anyone can kind of point out a Carl Weber book, but over the course of the years, they have definitely changed, become, I don't want to say more commercial, but they blend more with a lot of the other books. I guess you could say some of your early covers had black and white images.
I'll be honest with you, I hated those covers.
All right, I'm sorry, say it again.
No, I actually hated those covers when I first came out. I mean, they did brand me to an extent. I guess they were trying to brand me as kind of comedic in my writing. But I hated them, and I fought for years. And I guess, you know, when, once you finally make the New York Times bestseller list, they kind of listen. They start to listen
right.
to you.
Well, that would make them listen.
Yeah, I argue with authors in my publishing company all the time. They're like, I don't know why that doesn't meet my character. That, and I'll be like, oh, please, if you just knew. But, you know, a lot of people aren't as humble as we were back in the day. We were just glad to be there. Now, you know, it's a different world.
Well, I don't know about them, but I'm glad to be here, too. I'm in that same world.
So speaking of being... Never mind, my bad.
We always pause like that because we're trying to, like, see who got the next question. We don't want to step on nobody's toes.
Oh, no problem at all. Just, you know, y'all ask, I'll answer.
Okay, go ahead, Mari.
Okay. Speaking of being happy to be where you are and all of that, how have you managed to stay so relevant through the years?
Well, I still hang out with the same group of guys that I hung out with when I was 16.
Wow.
So, yeah. I think for me, when I start to write or when I decide on an idea for a book, I'm really trying to look at the world and who people are. I mean, I write about certain subjects. I mean, I've written about relationships from a man's point of view. I've written about church. I've written about plus-size women. Kind of write about the things I love, you know. And now, recently I've written about a family of gangsters. So I really do try to write about things that I know and understand and things that are going on. I mean, a lot of people, when you become successful, you almost move out of the neighborhood that kind of became what you started to write about. And, yeah, that's kind of happened with me, but I still hang out in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. And you did state that all the different storylines that you have started to tap into in your more recent years, like the family of crime. Do you go through research or do you, you know, go and travel and go to different places to kind of get a feel of what you're going to be writing about? How do you, you know, to make sure that what you're writing about is something that you actually know or have you actually lived it?
I would say that I've lived everything that I've written about, but I know somebody or I'm close with somebody that can give me some realistic point of view. It's kind of interesting. I mean, what African American man doesn't like plus size women? I mean, in that aspect, you look at a sister and you kind of, put together a story. But dating a plus size woman is no different than dating a skinny woman. All you have to do is think about how things are going. That's just how we are. When I think about things like relationship from a man's point of view, well, I'm a man. And then when I think about the church, I have a very healthy relationship with God. And then as far as like the new crime story situation with the family business, well, I grew up with some gangsters.
Wow. Well, I had a quick question. With it being that you have at least about 15 to 18 books under your belt, do you ever mm-hmm. have the jitters where thinking, you know what, this book may not be as good as the last book? Because sometimes you do get what I want to say cold and like, okay, I've written so many books, what else can I write about? Do you ever get those jitters when you're about to release something new that it might not go over as good as, say, the last book or the book before?
Only one time. I challenge myself. I mean, when I wrote So You Call Yourself a Man, I had a really big secret, and keeping the secret kind of motivated me. When I wrote Up to No Good, I was in a really dark place in my life, so that kind of took me with that. When I wrote Something on the Side, I really, really, really had a lot of admiration for my plus-size fans. And even when I wrote The Family Business, it, you know, the whole shoot 'em up type of thing kind of was, it was interesting at the time. So I've only had one opportunity, one time when I was a little bit afraid, and that was probably when I wrote The First Lady. And that's just because that's the only book I didn't put everything I wanted to put into it. I was trying to be really respectful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a good book. It did really well. I mean, New York Times bestseller list, but there was something missing from it. And then, you know, now I have this new book, The Man from 3B, which is my first true mystery. And when I was writing it, it was exciting because it was like, can I fool everybody? Can I make everybody look to the right and then I go left? So you never really know as you read this book. You don't know what the big explosion in the book is until the end. So it was a lot of fun. And I think that's the thing that good authors do. They challenge themselves to write something as good as the last time. And maybe it won't be as good, but if you're trying to do that and you really work really hard at it,
right,
it's got to happen. I mean, most people, you know, when they're writing a book, they're writing, you ever heard the old expression, I'm writing for myself? Well, Carl Weber doesn't write for himself. He writes for his fans. So my job is to make sure that I outthink my fans every single book. And that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So it's a real challenging thing that makes each book better, because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to outthink people.
Now, I had a question about your brand that you ended up building. You tapped into several different businesses besides just being an author. You had your independently owned book chain, Urban mm-hmm. Knowledge. I want to say you also have Beach Reads. But then you also launched Urban Books, and you have a lot of artists who are under you, and you've launched even different smaller entities under that as far as the Christian books, and then you had Urban Soul. So tell us, how did this all come about when you knew you wanted to start your own publishing brand?
It kind of started, I was the publisher of a small independent company for a little bit of time, by Black Print Publishing, and me and my partners, we really just didn't get along. So I kind of did, I had the publishing bug. I always, you know, if you go back and you look during the early 2000s, you'll see a lot of people had me in their acknowledgments as helping them to get publishing deals and stuff like that. So I was always kind of like wanting to be instrumental in helping people to get published. Trying to be a publisher was the next step. If you read anything about me or see some of the interviews that I've done in the past, I've always mentioned that I'm more of a businessman than I am a writer. Now, I'm trying to master the craft of being a writer, but business has always been my first love. So those are the type, that's something that comes extremely natural to me. And anytime an opportunity comes up, whether it be writing, whether it be publishing, whether it be bookstores, whether it's real estate, whether it's construction, whether it's getting into the film and TV industry, those type of things interest me. And I've always been extremely good at the art of the deal. So that's kind of where that kind of came from.
So you co-writ books with Eric Pete and Mary B. Morrison. Why'd you choose them of all people to work with, and how'd you get along when you were trying to write together?
Me and Mary, we were both with Kensington Publishing, and they came to us and asked us to write two novellas. And we kind of got together and were like, we don't want to write a novella. We'd like to write a book together. So we came up with the concept of, she would take a character from her series, and I would take a character from one of my series, and we would kind of meet them in a neutral place, which was Washington, D.C. And her character was Ashley from the Darius Jones series, I guess, or you might call it the Soulmates Dissipate series. And I took Jay Crawford from my Married Men series, and we kind of met those characters up there. And it was a lot of fun working with her. It's not the easiest thing in the world to work with another author, but we actually work really well together. And hopefully one day we'll be able to write another book together. As far as Eric is concerned, Eric is an author for my publishing company. And my wife said to me, she said, wow, this guy really can write. So, I was thumbing through his book, and I had always had this idea for writing the family business. And so I gave his agent a call, and we kind of talked about it, and finally I talked to Eric. And we kind of sat down in Texas. I went to a convention down in Houston, and Eric lives in Houston, and we kind of sat down and kind of hashed out an outline, and he wrote the first draft, and I wrote the second and third draft, and it turned out really well. It did really well, and now it's the basis for not just that one book, but it's the basis for a trilogy, and then there's a couple of other spin-off trilogies and a lot of different things that are going to happen with the whole family business series, so I'm really excited about it.
Okay. Well, real quick, we're going to get to your up-and-coming novel in a couple moments. But as I know, a lot of women out there are like, oh, my God, wife. Like, he has a wife.
I don't want to say nothing.
I'm going to say it because I'm going to say what I was thinking. Like, oh, my God. I always thought Kyle Weber was single, but now that I know he's not.
Did you think I was single or did you think I was gay? Because there's been a lot of rumors going around that I'm gay out of it. Now, let me tell
no,
you.
No, I never thought you were gay.
Kyle Weber is not gay. I'm letting everybody know that right now.
Well, wait a minute.
See, you probably would have tried to test me if I would have asked that question. I never thought that you were gay. You don't look funny.
I have never even I never even heard of that. That rumor ain't hit me.
That ain't hit me either. I ain't never heard that you was gay. But I never heard you be with
you. I'm gay. I mean, I have a lot of gay characters in my books. I'm not going to lie.
That's why.
Well, I got a lot of adulteries in my book that I'm having an adulterer.
No. He said he write about what he knows. Didn't he? He said that. I didn't say that. He said that.
No, Tamika. Well, like I said, I got a lot of adulteresses in my book. That don't mean I'm an adulteress. I got a lot of liars in my book. That doesn't mean I'm a liar.
That's true. Okay, and since you put it like that, okay, that makes sense. So,
yeah, wait a minute, Tamika. What's your character that everybody hate? The sister that sleeps with everybody.
Now, Jordan was she was promiscuous.
Okay, but that don't mean you are, right?
Well, can I please the fifth on that one? I see. Why you got to put me on the spot?
Getting back to our guest, Mr. Weber, how do you balance the two, with you having your writing thing going on, your publishing company going on, and other ventures? How do you balance the family life? Do you have children? How is it reflecting on the family side since you are so busy and popular?
Well, I mean, time management is extremely important. The writing is a job, and there's a certain amount of time that I have to put towards that every day, just like I have to put a certain amount of time towards, my other jobs. It's the whole thing comes down to making sure that you put time and effort in the right way. I mean, I want my kids to know who I am, so I have to make sure that I'm there for baseball and, ice skating and, stuff like that. But at the same time, I have to live my life and my career, to the best. I love what I do. I'm one of the few people that I know that wakes up every morning happy to go to work.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you that. So can you tell us, or do you remember the very last day that you actually held a government job where you worked for someone else? Or have you always, worked for yourself, being an entrepreneur?
I'm getting ready to give away my age, but I don't think I've worked for anybody else since 1992.
Wait, Tamika. He just said
it
was his
first grade. Let's see, in first 1992, I was in first grade. Let me
and 90. What grade were you in?
I don't know. I can't calculate it right now.
In 1992, I was already married for a year.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
I was
why
already married for
so
a year in 92. Wow.
Oh, my God, that don't even sound right. You were married. I was in first grade. Okay. Next question.
Oh, my God. So we're going to stop talking about age because I'm up there with you, Carl. But, see, Tamika, they the young buck, the new generation.
What
you say,
Tamika?
Well,
you know what, that is inspiring, Carl, that you haven't worked for anybody else since 92. Wow. And I recently saw that you posted something about now you're about to tap into more of the entertainment industry with the television series. Can you tap more into that?
Well, we are working diligently to get the Family Business television series, I think, off the ground. It's going to start out with a 6-episode miniseries. Hopefully, it'll be out sometime in 2014. It's a independent project that's going to be syndicated. So we're really kind of happy and excited about that, and that's really all I can tell. I mean, they're going to go into casting sometime in May, so I'm looking forward to sitting there and meeting a whole bunch of African American royalty as far as TV is concerned.
Now, I want you to remember that I have a great singing voice, so if you need somebody to like to sing the hook.
Oh, my
you know.
Goodness.
Wow.
Tamika?
Huh? Carl, let me tell you from experience, I have driven across country with this woman when we went on our Southern Book Tour. She sang the whole trip there and back. You don't want that.
I don't appreciate the support. I'm trying to get my big breakthrough. I don't appreciate that.
Well, we're gonna get into the book. The book.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time. So
okay, well, Carl, we can talk about that later. Okay.
Okay, no problem.
What'd you say? Tamika, what'd you say? I'll be shooting your email to remind you.
I still feel.
Twitter about to block her right now.
Yeah,
wow.
Let's just tap into the Man in 3D because that's one of the main reasons why you are on the show tonight. Tell us a little bit about the storyline. I've already started reading it, and it's definitely pretty interesting. Like, this Man in 3D, he is pretty sexy. Like, do you know him in real life? If so, never mind.
Wow.
There is a man by the name of Darryl Graham. That is true.
Uh-oh.
Now, I don't know if he's that sexy, but there is a man by the name of Darryl Graham.
Oh, Lord. Did you just call him out, Carl? Oh, my God.
What?
You called him out on
it is
okay.
What it is.
It is what
it is. Don't give him my number.
Okay. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Y'all
going
to make him hang up on us.
Carl, let's get into the book. Tell us about your book, The Man in 3B. Give us what's going on with this book. And does
man,
this book, huh?
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. Tell us a little bit about this book.
Well, The Man in 3B is basically a story about a gentleman by the name of Darryl Graham. And Darryl is the man every man wants to be in the and kind of the man every woman wants to have. And he's a very mysterious man that's just moved into a new apartment building. And he's got all of the tenants talking, male and female. And he, to make a long story short, he dies in a fire in the building. And somebody inside the building has killed Darryl Graham. And the story really is about who killed Darryl. and it's kind of it starts off and you find out that he's been killed in the fire, and then we flash back to 3 months later when he moved into the building. And as we go along, we find out and meet all the tenants of the building, whether they be crazy, nice, friendly. There's, you know, there's Connie, and there's different people in the building, and it's just it's an elaborate story as you're introduced to Darryl Graham, but he never has a true voice. I mean, if you've read any of my books, I write from the first person.
Right.
This is the first book that I've ever written where the main character has no voice. You see him through everyone else's eyes. And you really get to see him and get to love him and get to hate him. And as you go, everybody has a reason for wanting to kill or save Darryl. And, you know, as we go through twists and turns, you know, at the end of the story, we finally find out what happened to Darryl.
Now, you said that this book was, like, your first, I guess, mystery challenge for you to sit down and actually write your first mystery. What even inspired you to come up with this storyline? Like, where did this come from? What inspired you to do this book?
I wanted to do something different, something that I haven't done before. And to be honest with you, the ending kind of came to me before the story came. I'm the kind of person, I kind of write around titles.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came up with the title, The Man in 3D, it was based on a saying that a joke my mother and my father used to have when I was growing up. He used to always talk about the man around the corner. And the man around the corner was like the joke for, I guess, when my mother would say, well, I'm going to go see the man around the corner, and that was supposed to be my father. So the man around the corner became the man in 3B. Kind of, he's the guy that everybody, he's the mystery person that nobody really knows about. So that's where the story kind of came from. It was like a family joke. And then when I started to think about it, writing a mystery, this was what came up. You know, what would happen if something had happened to the man from 3B, and who would have gotten him? So that's kind of where the story kind of came into fruition, that along with, I've got a great new editor. I went from Kensington Publishing to the largest publisher in the world, Hachette, and I've got this great editor, Latoya Smith. So as we were talking and talking through the idea, you know, everything kind of started to fall into place.
Right.
Okay. So really, really quick, I ask this question to everybody, but how do you go about writing all these best-selling books? Like, what is your process? Do you, like, how do you do it?
I got a vivid imagination. I mean, that's really true.
There's no formula.
I'm a huge comic book fan. I mean, I've got probably one of the most extensive comic book collections of any African American in the country right now. And I probably was supposed to be a comic book writer, and it just didn't happen. So I use a lot of my imagination for comic books in my stories, and you know, it gives me the opportunity to come up with a lot of things to trick and fool people. I think it's really fun when you read a book and you think you're going down one road and you go down another. I mean, I've always found that to be a really interesting and fun way of reading, you know. There's nothing worse than reading something and just going, oh, I knew this was going to happen. So I'm always trying to, I'm always trying to outthink the reader. I'm always trying to have fun. There's nothing in the world better than getting a book, starting to read it, and be in bed and be talking to yourself. You know? Mm-hmm. And you just be like, oh, no, don't, girl, oh, God, no, don't do it.
No.
You know, when you get one of those juicy books and you got it in your bag and you're at work and you just got to, like, slip off to the bathroom to get your read on. And those are the type of books that that I wanted to write. And so that's what kind of inspires me. I want to write that book that's going to make somebody pick it up and go in the bathroom while they're at work or miss their stop on the bus or the train. That's what I consider a really juicy book. Well, when you read a book and you read it in 2 days and you just go, man, that was 400 pages, but I just wish I had 100 more pages to read. That's what excites people. And like I said, I'm writing for my fans. I don't write for myself. I write for them. So I got to give people what they want. I mean, these things aren't cheap that we put out. You know, $24 for a hardcover, $18 or whatever it is, you know, $15. That's a lot of money. And when people spend their hard-earned money, they deserve to have something for their money. And the one thing I don't want anybody to say is when you pick up a Carl Weber book and you spend your hard-earned money, I want you to be able to say, wow, that was worth it.
Now, Carl, I want to know, when am I going to be, I guess, at that status where I can tell you, Carl, I want to do a book with you? I mean, like, what do I have to do to get in to do a book
with you? Wait a minute, y'all just told me I'm seeing... On the
wait, because, Tamika, now I know I can't sing, but I can write. So I'm asking him to do something that I can do. You, on the other hand, you can write. You can write.
God, I'm
but I just want to know how many books do I need to have out there, bruh, to send you an email and say, look, can we get together and do something?
You know what? A lot of it really comes down to just, you know, when I do co-collab stuff, it comes down to being at the right place at the right time. So,
well, how do I get in that right place at the right time?
I can't promise anybody that I'm going to be, you know, they're going to be the next person that I'm going to write a book with. But I'm
going to be the next person.
I will say this much. This isn't, you know, I haven't written my last book with somebody else. You know, what I'm trying to do is expand the brand. So writing books with other people are going to help me to expand the brand. But, you know, right now, I'm really, really happy to write books by myself. And when, you know, the right opportunities come to write books with other people, then I'm going to do it. But, you know, I'm sure you're a phenomenal writer. Like I said, I would never promise anybody that I'm going to do something with them. Sometimes it just comes down to blind luck sometimes. And money. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it comes down to money. I mean, there was a time when I thought me and Mary Morrison would have wrote the sequel to He Ain't the One, and, you know, it really came down to money.
Right.
That's what's up. I know that's what I'm talking about. I don't like to talk or discuss anything if it ain't talking about money. I totally understand. So I get you on that. So we'll talk about me singing on the hook, but you know, later. I email you about it. So, Carl, before we wind down tonight, I want to see, are you open to taking any phone calls? Because we do have a couple listeners that could just be
sure. I love talking to folks. That'd be phenomenal.
All right, cool. So I'm going to open up some lines, and if you do have questions, I'm going to say, just state your name, where you're calling from. I'm going to call you out by your area code, and we'll go from there. Area code 434, if you can state your name, where you're calling from.
Well, look, Tamika, this is LaShira calling back, because Carl he's one of my favorites. And I must say, like, people who don't normally read, they will read your books. And also, I found at work, especially when I was working in middle school, a lot of my male colleagues will read your books, but they won't read anything else, you know. And if I had one of your books in my book bag, you know, they would get in a conversation. I was like, you read. And, you know, they would be like, yeah, but, you know, don't really tell anybody. But, you know, they will read your books. And so, you know, it really is a testament to your caliber of work. And, you know, and people are, like, fiending for your books, like junkies. Like, you know when that Carl Weber book coming out? Or have you heard anything? I mean, they, you know, so it really is a great testament to your work because you are popular among males, females, and actually, I want to say, quote-unquote, non-readers. You
wow.
know, it's just amazing.
You know, you got me blushing over here, right?
Well, no, it's
so much
the truth, you know.
That's just, wow. That's one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me. Thank you so much.
Aww.
Well, no, it's the truth.
Let's get the phone.
Now, I'm trying to see how can I make Carl blush.
Tamika, mute her mic. Where you come from, Rashira?
I come back.
Nice.
I'm like, me and Tamika are supposed to be on the line for like an hour. Then she just come out of nowhere with her sweet words.
Come back. Yeah. Look, I helped my daughter find her homework, and then I had to come back. Look, I'm like, Darth Vader, I'll be back. You said, Carl Weber. Like, oh, Lord, we got to come back.
Well, Ms. LaShare, thank you so much for calling in and letting Carl know about, you know, that great story there, making him blush. And, I mean, I was a little bit jealous. I think I had him
thank you
at some point, but
thank
whatever.
You.
It is what it is.
Ooh,
thank you, LaShare. Now, let's tap into our last caller, calling from area code 404. If you could state your name, where you're calling from, area code 404. Okay, I think
they don't want to talk. Hello. Hi.
I'm just listening.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you. Well, Carl, can you tell us, because I know you're about to head on tour, so tell us what people can expect from your book tour, some stops you're going to be at, and the dates.
Oh, okay. Well, you can go to either my website or my Facebook page, Author Carl Weber or carlweber.net, for my tour schedule. I'm going out on the road and I put on a show. I'm going to let everybody know that. When you come to a Carl Weber book signing, it's going to be like no book signing. I don't get up there and read. I promise everyone you will get your laugh on. We have so much fun. So check me out. I'm going to be in New York City on the 29th, which is in Queens, New York, at the Queens Library. And then I'm headed down to Clinton, Maryland. And then after Clinton, Maryland, I'm headed to Raleigh, North Carolina, Raleigh-Durham. And then I will be in South Carolina for the 1st and 2nd, and I'll be in Columbia, South Carolina, Sumter, South Carolina, and I'll also be in North Charleston. Then I'm headed to Georgia, to Macon, Georgia, and Columbus, Georgia. Got a lot of family and friends down that way, so come on, check me out down there. And then I'm headed to Alabama, to Birmingham, and then to Jacksonville, Florida, and then back to Atlanta.
You know I'm going to ask you, what can you add Texas to your list, Austin,
you know,
Dallas?
What? I will be in Texas in the fall.
That's what me and Mariposa, we're in Texas. So.
I was in Texas last year.
Non-crazy people are in Texas.
I'll be in Texas this fall. I'll also be in Chicago, out in L.A., and all throughout the Midwest in the fall.
So I can either catch him in Chicago or Texas. That's cool. All right.
I'm in Texas. I'm going to get him in Atlanta. He ain't going to see me coming. I'm going to get right back, I think.
He's going to get
not
security on you.
He ain't going to know. He's like, where you come from? What you talking about?
I do have one more quick question before we let you go. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, so I'm going to ask. Like, every time, like, if I go, say, on Amazon or somewhere to type in your name, if I hit Carl Webb, sometimes this cat called Webster pops up. Very similar and close to your name. How do you feel about that? Because I'm like, I know your name may be called Webster, but you know, as a pioneer out there named Carl Weber, you have to add an initial or something. How do you feel about that? Because sometimes people can click on his books and make a mistake and think it's yours.
Well, if it's the same Carl Webster, I think it is. If you look at the books, I don't think you'll think they're mine.
That was a good one.
I just have to put that out there because I'm on Goodreads and all these things, and his name always pops up. When I see my ass, always just go to the Carl Webb part. And I'm like, oh, that's Carl Webster. I don't know him.
You got to complete that and add that ER in there.
I know.
That was a good. He said, if you look at his books, you know they ain't mine. They was the best.
I just had to put that one out
there.
Yeah,
nah, but with stuff like that doesn't bother me. I mean, I know who I am, and I'm pretty sure if you're really looking for my books, you're going to find my stuff.
Yeah, you're going to find it, yeah. I agree. Well, Paul, we're definitely going to wind down. I don't want to hold you too much longer, because I know that you have other things that you do. You must be really, really busy. But can you let people know where they can find you, like your website, your Twitter, your Facebook, all of that, so that people can be able to find you?
Okay, well, Facebook is Author Carl Weber. Check me out. You know, especially if you need information, you can go there, or you can go to carlweber.net. On Twitter, I am Carl Weber. And, hey, look, if you really want a good time, and I'm coming through your area, come see me. I'm kissing babies, signing books. Bring all of your books. I don't care. All 18 books. It doesn't matter to me. I'm signing everything with my name on it. And folks, I'm telling you, the man in 3B is hot. So check it out.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. Well, thank you, yeah. Mr. Carl Weber, for calling in. I definitely appreciate you giving us just an hour of your day. I wish you nothing but success in the future, and we will talk about, you know, that hook for the show. That's going to be fun.
Tamika?
wait a minute. Carl said something, y'all. Y'all got to be quiet. He said something to
Carl?
Me.
I said thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
He did not say you good.
Yeah, because y'all was talking. Thank you. Thank you,
right.
Carl. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you now.
Bye-bye. Everyone, wow. That was Mr. Carl Weber himself. That was a pretty good interview. Mr. Carl Weber was nice, y'all.
I know.
And now that poor man is going to need extra security just for you.
Yeah, I'm excited about our collaboration, y'all. We're going to have fun. That's what's up.
Oh, my God.
You know
that
what?
Man gave
God
you
don't like ugly. What me and my say? Y'all don't like ugly. Y'all better start hating. Y'all better get on my level. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So, without further ado, let's recap a little bit. Everyone for who just listened to whatever the show, you know, we was kind of acting up a little bit. But we were just interviewing Carl Weber himself about his book, Man in 3B. It is in stores on January 29th. Please go check it out. Go to his website at Carl Weber. I want to say CarlWeber.net. Did he say CarlWeber.net, y'all? Who is paying attention? Yep, it's CarlWeber.net. So go to CarlWeber.net. On Twitter, it's I am Carl Weber. And on Facebook, just type in Arthur Carl Weber, and you'll be able to see him and check him out. All of his tour dates is also on AMBC's website at aambookclub.com. I'm going to tweet it out and put it on the chat room in just a moment. But, yeah, that was great. I really enjoyed that. Like, he had a really good spirit about him. I liked him. He was cool. Some people really want to say stuff about some people when they're so successful. They can say what they want.
Yeah, like he's gay and he's not.
Right.
That is wrong, people.
Right.
That is wrong on so many levels. Stop spreading bad rumors.
Right, and he married. So, all y'all stop hating. And what? Because, you know, I'll be hating on too, y'all.
Yeah, but Tamika, you got a mouth.
Yeah.
And?
People hate
and
you.
What?
And what? You keep doing you. I ain't mad at you.
I am not mad at you.
You
know, my bad thing about it is I be wanting folks to say something. I want them to say something. I was like, I want you to say something so I can say something back. I ain't going to mention your name, but I'm going to say something. Because I can't hold my tongue. I can't be fake. I can't hold my tongue. But for all those who are listening, remember this. If ain't nobody talking about you, if ain't nobody hating on you, then boo-boo, you are the one that's doing the talking and you're the one that's doing the hating. So, therefore, that means you need to get yourself together. So, in any event, next week, y'all, we're going to be having Miss Tiff. What?
I said next week.
Yeah, next week. next week, y'all, we're going to be having Arthur Carl Weber, not Carl Weber, Arthur Kimberler Lawson Roby is going to be
again,
on the show.
Yay!
Yeah, I think we had her a couple years back. I'm not sure.
Maybe like about a year and a half.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, because it was still when I was on the show. So we're going to be having her on the show on next Tuesday. And also, before I forget, let me announce the book winners for Carl's book. We did a book giveaway for The Man in 3B, and the winners are Melissa Samuels out of Montclair, California, Kara Northington from Marietta, Georgia, Janie DeCoster from South Carolina, and Carolyn from Richmond, Virginia. So you ladies are going to be getting an email soon. And also, you guys, stay on the lookout because we're going to be giving away copies of The Perfect Marriage by Kimberly Lawson Roby starting this weekend as well. So we have some more giveaway books coming for you guys. So make sure you tune in next Tuesday for Kimberly Lawson Roby interview. And then also next Wednesday, we're going to be airing a special show for the AMC Literary Awards nominees. We're going to be revealing the nominees for that. And I already know almost every single nominee that's going to be on the ballot, so I'm excited about that. I wish I can reveal it to you guys. I may send Samari and Anne so y'all can take a peek, but I'm excited. It's a really new blend of nominees, y'all. So this is what's really made me excited, because sometimes you get tired of the same people being nominated. But it's a new brand of artists out there, y'all, so it's going to be really interesting. So next week, y'all, we're going to be on the show twice next week, Wednesday and Tuesday, so you guys make sure that you stay tuned. Do y'all have anything else, ladies, that y'all would like to say?
I want to say this. I can't wait to be on the AAMBC ballot, because y'all know we never can be on the AAMBC ballot. But this year will be, my final year with Delphine? So hopefully next year I can be on a AAMBC ballot without people thinking it's biased.
I don't know. You never know. I mean, people say, why she can't be on the ballot? It's because me and Ann go back like two flats. And so people will think that, you know.
It was fixed or rigged.
Now, what would be really off if I put my own self on my ballot? And that would be off. Now, wouldn't that be off, though?
Yeah, that would be off. And you win every category.
I ain't gonna do that. So, and put myself in every category and then award myself with all the awards, even the male author category.
What did you say, Tamika? And the winner is Tamika Newhouse again.
I'm like, again? I didn't see this coming. Oh my God. Okay, y'all. On forever. So, we will see you all back here on next Tuesday as we interview Kimberly Lawson Roby. So, make sure you go to our website here on Blog Talk Radio, type in AAMBC for our main webpage, and click subscribe to our radio page so that you can always be updated when new shows are going to be airing. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mari. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Carl Weber. Thank you, LaShere Lee. You all have a great night. Be blessed.
Good night.
Good night.
And only you can lift my spirit. You gave me wings, and now you're gone. Crying inside, some tears every time. Away, hot letters too. Anything to get my mind off you. You just walk by me like nothing ever happened. When you said you would rescue me if I was ever falling. Well, baby, there's no way that you could have forgotten all of the memories I thought we shared. We were supposed to grow. How can I look up at the moon when I know that moon shines up on you? Through that window in your room, I wish I had you in my arms. See, darling, I would never let you go. No, 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 no. Would you just walk by me like nothing ever happened? When you said you would rescue me if I was ever falling. When baby, there's no way that you could have forgotten all of the memories I thought we shared. We were supposed to grow. Supposed to grow.